Okay, Matthew 4:23, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." Chapter 5, verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain." And get this, "and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." Let's pray. Lord, ask you to just help us, give us understanding of this, and Lord, help us be disciples. Help us be followers of you and be true disciples, Lord. Teach us from your word, please, and help us to have soft hearts that we'd receive it and we'd apply it to our lives, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I said disciples aren't part of the crowd, they come out of the crowd. Now, he had all these multitudes following him. There were a bunch of people following him. I mean, from a bunch of different areas. It said there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. Well, that's where he was doing all this preaching, was in this region of Galilee, which would be considered really around the Sea of Galilee, is that region there. And he was going into these different synagogues, preaching in these different cities around there. So people from there were following him, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan, even on the other side of Jordan, which is where the Sea of Galilee went, and on the other side of it, okay, the Jordan River ran into the Sea of Galilee, or flowed out from it, I believe is what it was. But the point being, there was people from all over that were there following him. But there's a difference, because he sees the multitudes, he goes up into a mountain, and then it says something, when he was set, his disciples came unto him. It doesn't say the multitudes came unto him, it says his disciples came unto him. Disciples aren't part of the crowd, they come out of the crowd. And that's what God's telling us we need to do. We need to not be part of the crowd. We need to come out of the crowd. There's a separation unto God for His disciples. And let me say, for His people. God really wants every saved person to be a disciple. That's what He wants. He's looking for that from you, to be a disciple. And as we come out to Him, we need to understand, so many people get this thing of separation, and the Bible clearly teaches separation from unholy things and from the world. It teaches it all throughout the Bible. But what many people miss is they think, well, I'm just separating from that. And we need to look at it more like this: I'm separating unto God. Because that's what they did. They separated from the crowd, but who'd they separate to? They came unto Him. See, when we separate, we're separating to God. That's what a disciple does. Think of it as, I get to get closer to God. That's what we want to do. That's what we need to do. That's what we should do. That should be our desire. You're there in Matthew 4. Save your spot there and go to 2 Corinthians 6:17. God's telling His people, I'll wait till you're there. Are we there? God's telling His people there, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and get this, and I will receive you." See, it's separation unto God. We're separating from something, yes, and what is it really? It's the unclean thing. And He talks about it in the verses above that. What communion hath light with darkness, and righteousness with unrighteousness. And so we're separating from those things. But what's He saying? I'll receive you. We're separating to God. And that's what we need to understand. As we separate, as we set ourselves apart from the crowd, we should set ourselves apart to God and be closer to God. And I promise you, if you walk with God, you'll be set apart from the crowd. If you truly are following God and you're a disciple of Christ, you'll be set apart from the crowd. You won't be like them. You'll have to stand opposed to that, because this world is antichrist. This world is against God and everything that is godly, and they stand in complete rebellion to God. So if you start marching towards God and marching with God, you're going to stand out from this world. Disciples willingly seek out their master to learn from him. We're back in Matthew now. They went to him. They sought him out. They willingly found him. Jesus didn't have to beg them to follow him. They sought him. That's important that we seek God out. That's a disciple. A disciple will seek God out. That's what it says. When he was set, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, what happened? There was the multitudes were there, a bunch of people there, but only the disciples came unto him. We're in Matthew, if you would turn to John chapter 10. I could quote these, but I'd rather have you see them. I want you to see these verses. If anything, hopefully you learn the books of your Bible. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 4. It says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them," and get this, "and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, I read that. That tells me that saved people are going to follow Christ. Saved people are going to follow him. They know his voice. They hear him. So the disciples sought him out. They went where he was. Are you seeking God out? Are you seeking his word? See, we'll get to it in here just a bit. Look at verse 27, also John chapter 10. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus' sheep follow him. They hear his voice. They're going to hear the word of God. That's a characteristic of a saved person. Now, understanding this, it's not to say that there won't be stray sheep. I mean, obviously, the shepherd goes after the stray sheep. He does that, and that analogy is given for a reason, because saved people get off track sometimes. Okay, that'll happen. But what we're looking at here is being a disciple, and these disciples came unto him. Saved people follow Christ. And that should be the characteristic of your life, is that you're following Christ, and you need to dedicate yourself and set your heart, set your affections on the things of the Lord, and that you'd follow God. That it just doesn't just brush over and you think, who cares, what's the big deal? No, that you'd say, no, I want to follow Christ. I want my affections on him and on things that are above. Let me say this, just because people follow Jesus, it doesn't make them disciples or even saved. Again, verse 25 of Matthew 4, it said there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem. There was a bunch of people following him, but it doesn't mean they were disciples. It doesn't even mean they were saved. Verse 24 says, "His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Why were so many of them following him? To get something. To get something. That's why they were following him. People follow God for a lot of reasons that aren't because they belong to him, that aren't because they're saved. I mean, there's too many reasons to list, but many of them think, well, if I do this, I can earn my way to heaven. That's probably the biggest one. I think that they're pleasing to God because they come to church. No, that's not what it's about at all. You come to church because you're saved and you want to grow and learn. There was a bunch of people following him thinking they can get something from him. And that same belief is still out there today, thinking I can get something from God. It's called the prosperity gospel. And most of your I guess, famous preachers, televangelists that are out there preach a prosperity gospel. And we call it name it and claim it. And they just say, oh, if you just name it, and you're going to get it. It'll be yours. And that's not found in the Bible. I mean, Jesus himself said, hey, you want to follow me? The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, I don't have a home. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. But they're still out there teaching that Hey, you can get something. Come to Jesus to get something from Him. If you come to Jesus, you come because you're seeking salvation. That's why you come to Him. But just because people follow Jesus, it doesn't make them disciples, doesn't mean they're even saved. See, disciples are willing to go farther and do more for God than the average person. That's what happened. Look right here. It says, Matthew 5:1, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. They went farther. They went where the others weren't willing to go, what the others weren't willing to do. A disciple says, hey, I'm going. Why? My sights are set on Him. I want to follow Him. And guess what? If you're going to follow Christ, He may take you through some hard times. He may take you through some valleys. We went through that series on Sunday mornings looking at the 23rd Psalm as the Lord being our shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We understand you have to go through that valley to get to the mountaintop. Those plains, that tabletop where all that good feed is at. You got to go through that to get to the top. And Christian, if you want God to use you, and you look and you study good, great Christians of the past and in the past, and they had to go through some things really before God used them in a mighty way. Many of them did. Many Christians throughout history have gone through some things. And you might say, I've gone through some things. Well, are you still following Christ? See, you're going to go through some stuff. You will. A disciple keeps going. Keeps going. I'm following Christ. I'll go where others won't go. I'm going to go there. Where others stop, I'm going to keep going. Disciples go farther than the average. I said this already, but just because someone follows Christ, it doesn't mean they're saved. Disciples seek God because they want to be close to Him, not just to get something from Him. Verse 23 of Matthew 4 says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. See, they were following Him. It says, and His fame went throughout all Syria. Why? Because He was giving them something. That's why they were there following Him. Because He was handing something out. But guess what? When that stopped, His fame died off. You study the life of Christ and you look at when much of the first part of His ministry, it's called the Galilean part of His ministry, He was healing a lot of people and He had a huge following. But as He transitioned from that and He stopped doing much of the healing, the crowds got smaller. Why? They weren't getting anything. Well, the sideshow's over. Nothing to see there anymore. I mean, not that it was totally like that because He still healed people, but not as much. It slowed down. Disciples seek God because they want to be close to Him, not just to get something from Him. That's got to be the desire of your heart. I want to be close to God. I can look back in my Christian life and think, man, there are times when it was just great and I loved it and I felt super close to God and God was feeding me and teaching me all these things and I loved it. And then there's times when it's kind of dried up and the excitement wasn't there like it was when I first got saved. And what do I do and what happened? You keep going. A disciple keeps going. A disciple doesn't quit because the excitement's gone. The initial newness of it's gone. I forget who said this, but some old-time preacher. He said, "Your Christianity is measured in decades, not years." Think about that. Your Christianity is measured in decades, not years. How many decades have you been serving God? You've got to start somewhere, right? Amen, you do have to. I've got a little over one decade under my belt. About 13 years. And I've been following God since I got saved. But I want to say that in 40 years. I want to say I'm still following God. See, Christian, you got to decide right now. When the hard times come, when whatever circumstance comes, I'm going to keep following Christ. Are you a disciple? You'll know right then and there. Hey, when the good times come, you're going to keep following Christ. I've seen so many people get out of God's will, stop following God because they're blessed financially. Ruins people. Ruins people. The good times. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 2 and verse 23. We see in Matthew 4, it says, "And there followed him great multitudes of people. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." It appears like you look at this, and it may just be that those disciples were the saved people, and the multitudes were maybe the seekers. Kind of, let me look at this thing. Those that weren't really committed, those who weren't saved. But his disciples came unto him, is what it says. But he saw the multitudes, and he went up into a mountain apart. Now we're here in John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Hey, they believed in his name. That's good, right? When they saw the miracles which he did. Look at verse 24. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them." He didn't commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He didn't commit himself unto them. Now let me just say that as believers, when we get saved, he commits himself unto us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But with these people, he didn't do that. And I understand he hasn't died yet and the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. But it says specifically he did not commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men. He knew what was in them. See, there can be people that are following Christ and aren't saved. Did Judas not follow Christ for 3.5 years? He looked like a committed disciple. He wasn't saved. That could be you. And I'm not trying to say you're not saved or anything. Only you and God know that. But I'm telling you, it's possible. There are lost people that are members of churches. I don't care what church it is. Any church, there's going to be lost people who are members of that church. It says, "Jesus did not commit himself unto them, but they believed in his name." Well, the Bible says the devils believe also and tremble. James chapter 2. They're not saved, but they believe. Hey, before I got saved, I believed in Jesus. I believed he died on the cross. I believed he lived a sinless life. I believed he rose from the dead. And I even believed he did it to pay for my sins. I believed. But I never received it. I never realized I needed it. I didn't think I was bad enough to deserve to go to hell and that I needed a Savior. But I knew all that stuff. See? "Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Why were they coming to Jesus? To get something from him. They saw the miracles. These that we're looking at here in John 2 that believed in him weren't truly saved. They're only superficially following the Lord. There's people like that today. The Bible talks about that. That there's going to be people like that. And the parable of the sower and the different types of ground that the seed falls in. That they weren't serious. 1 John 2, 22 and 23 says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." So you have to acknowledge the Son. It's a true commitment. True trust. Salvation. It's not just knowing about it up here. People have said before, you can miss heaven by 18 inches. What do they mean by that? You can know about it up here, but not be trusting God down here in your heart. And you miss heaven. It's got to be a commitment to the Lord. You're turning to Him. You can follow God, follow Christ, and not be saved. The multitudes are proof of that. Jesus didn't commit Himself to them. Now, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19. Matthew 8, 19. "A disciple will follow Christ no matter the cost." Matthew 8, 19 says, "A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I said, A disciple will follow Christ no matter the cost. It said, A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. A scribe was one who would write out the word of God. He said, Master, he called him. You know what that word master means? It means Lord. That's what it means. Lord means you're the boss. You're in charge. Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, I'll follow you. You know, a disciple, we're looking at disciples here and discipleship tested. And a disciple will recognize Christ's lordship. That means that he's in charge. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That means master. He's the boss. It's not me. He makes the calls, not me. A disciple follows, not gives orders. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is the attitude of a disciple. This attitude that this man expressed, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's what we should say. God, I'll follow you wherever you go, wherever you lead, I'm going that way. But Jesus, knowing the man's heart, I believe challenged him in an area. And it doesn't mean this man didn't follow him, but it does mean he maybe had to put him in check where he was at and with some heart issues that he was having. And he said, That's great. You want to follow me? Foxes have holes. What is he saying? Foxes have a home. The birds have nests. He said, But if you want to follow me, I don't have a home. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't have a house. I don't have anywhere I can call home where I sleep. So if you want to follow me, you better double check. You better make sure. And he didn't go running after people either when they turned their back on him and left. And I'm not saying we don't have a job to go after people to get away from the Lord. We do, but he didn't go running after chasing people, begging them to follow him. He challenged them and tested them. He said, If you want to follow me, you better make certain you want to follow me because this is serious. This is a serious thing. And for us today, in the culture that we live in here in America, in the Western world, with the freedoms that we have, we don't have the tests that they had in the early church and even in other parts of the country still today. I mean, Brother Iommi's over there in China, and man, if you want to follow God, you're going to possibly risk your life. Last year at this time, he was here a year ago at this time, and while he was here, one of his preachers was murdered for being a preacher, for being a Christian. He lost his life. That's real quick going to decide who's serious about being a Christian and who's not. You're not going to have these pretend Christians when it means it's going to cost you your life. That's just not. People aren't going to do that. We don't have that here today. So we want to be a disciple. We need to be willing to follow the Lord. We need to be willing to commit to Him and to give to Him and to serve Him. That's how we can prove our discipleship today. And I hope persecution never comes here. I think we're already seeing a taste of it with some of the things that have gone on, that are going on in this country. I pray it doesn't get worse. I don't want to. God may have a different plan for us. I don't know. He may say, you need to go through that. Maybe we do, to get us serious about following Him and closer to Him. But I don't want that. How about we just be dedicated to Him now and we decide, I'm going to follow you no matter what, Lord. Whithersoever thou goest, I'll go. Can we say that? Wherever you lead me, Lord, I'll go. And stop leaning on our own understanding. See, a disciple recognizes Christ's lordship, that He's in charge. They will go where He leads and live as He prescribes. The man made the statement, I'll follow you wherever, Lord. Wherever you go, I'll go. He said, okay, I don't have anywhere to live. Are you willing to follow God wherever He leads you, even if it doesn't make sense? Most people aren't. Most people are not willing to do that. Most people give a portion of themselves to God, but they don't give all of themselves to God. And I'm telling you, if we want to be disciples of the Lord, we need to be willing to give all. And it's not something just one-time deal. Hey, I did it and that's it. No, because guess what? Tomorrow you may have to do it again because, hey, we're selfish. And we might at one point say, I don't know, that's crazy, and kind of take it back a bit. And we say, God, I'm sorry. Here it is, Lord. Give it to Him again. But that's what a disciple does. Disciples prioritize according to God's priorities. In verse 21, it says, another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. Now, what some have said that means is that his father was maybe in the last part of his life, hadn't actually died yet, and he needed to go there and be there for those types of things. And it could have been even up to a year or so that he would be there to go bury his father. I read the text, it says, I take it that suffer me first to go and bury my father. His father's already dead, he needs to go bury him. What does Jesus say? Follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. You can't change that. Follow me. See, disciples prioritize according to God's priorities. What does God say is important? What does God say should be first in our life? You know what He said in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not second, not third, not fourth. It's not, I'm going to seek my children first and then God. I'm going to seek my children first and then my husband and then God. It's nothing like that. It's, I'm going to seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not my priorities, not what I think is best. I'm going to seek this career path first and then God. No, it's I'm going to seek God first and go where He leads me. People don't do that. Christians don't do that. They don't say, God, should I take this job? Lord, should I do this? They say, oh, I'll take that job and then Lord, will You bless this? That's what they say. Lord, should I marry this person? They don't say that. They say, I'm going to marry this person and then Lord bless it. Disciples prioritize according to God's priorities and they make the hard choices. And by the hard choices, I mean they live by faith. It doesn't mean every choice you make in your life is going to be hard and difficult. And you know, so many people get the idea that living by faith and following God, it's you're going to hate every step of it and He's going to make you do something you don't want to do. It's not like that at all. It's not been like that for me. I mean, God put the desires in my heart to do this. Was it hard to come start a church? Absolutely. Was it scary? Absolutely. I mean, I left a good job that paid good money and I had benefits and all that for my family. I left all of that. But man, I'm excited about this and I love doing it and it's the best thing I've ever done and I'm thankful for it and I've seen God bless in my family and just my wife and my children just following along with me and excited to do it. And it's been wonderful. It's not been awful. It's not been, I don't want to do that. No, I wanted to do it and I wanted to serve God and I wanted to follow God. And that's what it's like following God and doing God's will. It's not that He's going to make us do things we don't want to do. I don't know most people in God's will. I don't know that it's been like that for them. I really don't think it's been like that. The people that I know, they want to be where they're at. And they want to follow God. And that's when you find joy in life. In the midst of the circumstances that come in life. It doesn't matter where you are, what you do. Bad things are going to happen. It doesn't matter. You can be in the middle of God's will. And bad things will happen. I mean, we just got through reading in the last section there that, hey, it is this section right here. When they're in the middle of God's will, they're doing what God wants, they're following God, and guess what? There arose a great tempest in the sea and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. Hey, this huge storm comes and scares them that they wake Him up. They're in the middle of God's will. And an awful storm comes. I'm telling you, that stuff's good. Life is going to happen. No one's immune from life, from the problems and the trials of life. I mean, I don't know, people talk about, oh, normal families. There are no normal families, okay? I mean, every family's a mess. I mean, it just is. Every family, everyone's family's a mess. It doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor. Every family's a mess and has problems. Every one of us. Why? Because we're sinners. We're just sinners, so there's going to be problems. I mean, amen. But just in spite of that, just serve God and follow God. Be a disciple. Prioritize according to God, not according to you, not according to a spouse, not according to your children. Don't let your children run your life and dictate your life. Let God. Let God. Jesus doesn't beg for disciples either. You don't see him doing that in any of these cases. He wants those who are committed, not part-time. And it's got to be voluntary. You could see the example of one in the book of Acts there with John Mark, wrote the Gospel of Mark. He quit on them. He said, I'm leaving. He left Paul and Barnabas and went back. Later, he repented of that and he followed Barnabas and God used him. Thank God for that. But he wasn't committed. See, we got to determine we're going to be disciples. We're going to be committed to the Lord. God's not going to beg us to follow him and serve him. What did he tell the disciples when he called each of them? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't tie a chain around their neck and say, come on! Let's go and start dragging them. No. He said, follow me. And gave them the choice. He does the same for us. Follow me. Are we answering the call? Will we follow him? See, this being here today, being in church, that's just part of it. You really start following Christ, it'll impact every single area of your life. Every area of your life. If you're a disciple, it'll transform your life. It won't be like it's always been. It will transform your life. If you're a disciple. Why? Because you'll be committed. You'll be doing what God wants you to do. Maybe you already are and it has transformed your life. Amen. Maybe you were and you backed off. You need to recommit. God's not going to beg you. He doesn't want you to follow him. But Jesus wants those who are committed, not part-time. He informs them of the trials they're going to face. He says, hey, I don't have a home. Hey, you're going to follow me? Let the dead bury their dead. What's he saying? You're going to follow me? You might not be around when something bad happens. Might not be here. Remember, people followed God. They're on the other side of the country. And, you know, they had to move away from their family. Family member dies, they're not there. Why? Because you're going to follow me, let the dead bury the dead. You won't be there for everything. There's going to be trials. God informs us up front. You want to follow me, there's going to be some things you're going to have to face and you're going to have to deal with. He informs them of the sacrifice. There is a sacrifice to following Christ. You may have to give some things up. Do you want to follow me? I don't have a home. I don't think he tells that to all of us. But he's saying there's going to be some sacrifices. You want to be a disciple? There's going to be some sacrifices in your life. You may have to give something up. After issuing a challenge to the professed disciples, those that were serious followed him. He tells them that. Jesus said, hey, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Hey, you want to be my disciple? I don't have a home. You let the dead bury the dead. Just come with me. And the disciples followed him. The challenge is there. Are you going to follow him or are you going to draw back? Disciples follow. But get this, as you follow him. It's not like he just leaves you out there on your own. You're alone now. He's there to lean on still. Amen. That's good stuff right there. He's still there to lean on. He doesn't just forsake us. He says, I'm right there with you. I'll be in the boat with you. Amen. God leads. That means he's leading. He's there with us. We just follow him. I like what Brother Hernandez would say. Hey, where he leads me, he'll feed me. As God leads, he will feed, he will provide, he will protect. That's what happened right here. Verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He was right there. They pray. They pray. You know, when you look in the Gospels and you see them talking to Jesus, they're praying. We lose sight of that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a person. Yes, he's God, but a person. We talk to him. That's what the disciples did. They prayed to him. They were talking to him. Lord, save us, we perish. See, they had prayer. Do you? Disciples pray. And in turn, throughout all this, their faith was increased. See, as you follow God, God gives some blessings along the way too. You know, sometimes he uses these trials to build our faith, to build our Christianity. It's not just that they're all for, what are these even for? Why am I going through this? We might not get it right here. But once we've gone through it, we look back and we say, I get it now. I understand why I went through that. See, he's going to teach us some things. He's going to grow our faith. Think about that. After they saw that storm and he quiets the storm, they're thinking, what man is this? Wow! How did he do that? We can really trust this guy. But they didn't see any of that until they decided to follow him. Christians miss out on a lot of blessings, a lot of miracles in their life because they're not following Christ. They ignore him. They don't walk with him. And they're missing out on so much. But the ones that went farther, the ones that were willing to go in spite of the trials, they got to see a miracle. They got to witness God do something amazing. The blessings are there. Will we be disciples? The foundation of discipleship is the Word of God. This is where it all starts. Your success as a Christian will be determined on this. How much devotion do you give to this? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you ignore this, you're not a disciple. I'll tell you right now. Think about it. These men that followed Christ, they were with him day and night. Every day. They weren't in their Bible once or twice a week, every day. If that doesn't describe you in your Bible every day, guess what? You're not. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just being honest. You're not a disciple. You are not a disciple. A disciple is going to be in this every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You feed yourself food every day. Do you feed yourself the Word of God every day? If not, you are not a disciple. I'm sorry, I'm not being mean, I'm just telling you. You want to be a disciple, you need to be in this book every day. Every day. I try and challenge, read your Bible every day, read your Bible every day. I don't say it just because I'm trying to force you to read your Bible. It's for your own good. It's for your own good. There's something God does. He'll teach you things and you'll grow and you'll learn things just by reading the Bible, even when you think, I didn't get anything from that. But you know what? As you read through that, then you'll get somewhere a little bit later on down, you're like, you know what? I remember reading something about that. And you'll turn back to it, and God will put something together. He'll teach you something. You're going to be like, wow, I never seen that before. But it only happened because you were spending time in His Word. What is your relationship with the Word of God? Is it an integral part of your life? It doesn't matter your age, everyone in here. Is the Word of God an integral part of your life? A regular, normal part of your life? You reading it, studying it. Have you come out of the crowd? Why are you following Christ? Check your motives. Do you want to serve and follow God, or are you trying to get something from Him? And I promise you, God will give us stuff. God will answer our prayers. Would you follow Christ no matter what it cost you? I just read this last week of more beheadings by ISIS. Christians. That just happened. That's real. What if to follow Christ meant your children would disown you? That happens to people. Your parents disown you. That happens. Would you still follow him?